episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drunk, fuck, tonight. Open up to your bum.
A lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Good evening. You're listening to the Rick and Roro Show on the 6th of September, 1982. No, sorry, it's 2025. And you're listening to Rick and Roro talking about whatever they want to talk about on their Nostalgia Hour. Thank you very much. Over to the hosts, Rick and Roro.
Thank you very much. You funny little old man. Very well. You're doing really well. Roro, are you in the room?
Yes, my friend. How are you, my friend? I heard you cracked a tooth. How's it feel?
I'll just say this. I haven't had a beer since last Saturday night.
No beer, and I decided to
lose weight. I do not want to walk around looking like with a pair of tits, basically, because that's what happens to men, especially ones that did bodybuilding and did a lot of bench pressing over the years. They look terrible, and you're better off having a Mick Jagger or losing weight and being slim when you're over 60. I'll just say that anyway. And so today, I hadn't had a drink all day, and I went and I was having something to eat, and I felt this something hard in my mouth, like rolling around, and it was a little bit of tooth. And it must have got worse. It must have been more than just a little bit. I must have swallowed the rest. But I've got like a quarter of my tooth must have fallen off, and it goes straight into the nerve. So every time I breathe or have a cold beer, it's like a Marathon Man torture scene. But ask me... Will that stop me drinking beer tonight?
So, Rick, will that stop you drinking beer
tonight? No. No.
Okay. Is it a front tooth? So will people notice? Or is it a molar?
It's just one of the molars in the back. Yeah, it's molars.
Yeah.
Anyway, tough it out,
big guy.
And I'm opening up a crystal white beer. From a 500-year-old brewery in Bavaria.
Nice.
Why not?
How much that cost? Is that top shelf?
They're $7.80 each, but that's like a 500 mils or something or other, which is, you know, in Australia, beer's so expensive now. This is a pretty good value for the purity that it is. I just read while I was in the bottle shop, Roro was listening to me. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the bottle shop read, I said, how was the king? Because he just got back a few weeks ago from Buckingham Palace, where he went for a reunion of the old regiment. He was his bodyguard too. And I read this long letter out. I read a letter. He gave me the letter that Prince, because he took some really expensive bottles of Australian wine, really hard to get ones. And so King Charles has sent a personal thank you and saying, thank you so much for doing it. I read it and Riley didn't realize who I was, who wrote that letter. Because we were just talking about King Charles Cavaliers that Rollo owns, and I was talking about King Charles, the
hello, everybody.
Toss his fingers King himself. Sausage fingers. I yes, cannot.
Yes, see,
really. That's King amazing. Can you read the letter that, I mean.
I just read it. Well, it was his fucking handwriting. On the Buckingham Palace stamp. Yeah, it was,
When I used to live in Georgetown, the two people that lived below me in the flat in Georgetown, that was their 75th wedding anniversary, and they got a letter from Buckingham Palace, but she only signed it ER. It was just like it was a tiny little thing, and I couldn't even tell if it was personally signed. Or not?
Betty the Yeti, possibly that, but she. So what it was the handwritten in the middle. It was typed about because he mentioned a whole lot of things about
the old
battalion.
Just do a take two on that. Etty the Yeti, you turned into a robot just a little bit there.
This is Joel's. I'll talk slowly.
No, our super duper producer, I'm sure it's whatever. I think it's a Discord issue. It's certainly not Joel's. Tell us again about Etty the Yeti.
I said Betty the Yeti. That's who I call Queen Elizabeth. I'm taking off Wi-Fi. I'm just going to go straight on to normal.
You're as clear as crystal, mate. And,
Queen Elizabeth, I doubt whether maybe she did have to go every day, but she would have had a royal signature writer, the ER bit, you know, at the end of those things. It wouldn't have been her, but back in the day, it might have been.
Do you remember when she was meeting all the Australian cricketers and Dennis Lilly broke protocol and shook her hand or something? He put his hand out.
Well, at least it isn't fart.
Who farted in front of the Queen?
I'm sure someone has. I think it's in the Monty. There's actually a Monty
didn't
Python.
Didn't Joe Biden do a long fart in front of Camilla Parker Bowles? And she went, and it smelt like, up in Scotland somewhere.
I don't know if that was real, but they certainly had that. But they do these things. They had a thing about. Donald Trump shitting himself on the golf course, which was totally faked. It was just a bit of they digitally put a stain on his pants and then made a big thing. All the negative Donald Trump stories. But anyway, this was a genuine letter from King Charles that he gave me. He showed me it was a copy. He brings it to show his customers.
And your friend was security for
King Charles.
Actually,
he was on Buckingham Palace, and he was telling me some. You're all listening to
Rick and Roller.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Good evening. Yes, you're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show, episode number 46.
46.
When is it? 36.
Get it right.
Sorry, Rollo. I'm getting a bit old and I have a few issues. I have to say that, Rollo. Anyway, back to the show on the 6th of September, 2025.
Thank you, Quentin Pose. I'll call him that from now on. Kenny Everett. Security. Yeah, security.
Danny was telling me some of the stories because he used to make Prince Charles laugh his head off because he always has to say something. He's got a really great, dirty Scottish sense of humour. And he was telling me one day, this is what he, and because I've
can
got.
Can you do it as a Scot? Can you do a Scot? A Scottish accent?
No, he talks like this. He talks like this. He's from the Gobbles, yeah. You know, he's fucking rough as nuts. Anyway, he said that he came home to swap, you know, his shifts. He came in early in the morning. He'd been up all night gallivanting and chasing women. And King, the Prince Charles had said, Danny, where have you been? You know, and he goes, Prince Charles, he goes, you want to smell my fingers? And he Prince Charles laughed his head off because he'd been out.
Oh my God.
And that's what he was like. And I've seen the photos of him with Prince Charles with his arm right around him, and Prince Charles got his head back. Oh,
Daniel, well done, son. Well,
it's Danny, but he's, I say, yeah. if Prince Danny. Charles was talking to him, he was Daniel. But no, he calls him Danny.
You do a very good Prince Charles, actually.
I do, Rudy. I'd like to come around and see Rosie. Because she's named after me, I do believe.
I'd like to do one of those. We'll do it later in the. We've got Prince Charles, King Charles on the line. I mean, it beats Klaus Schwab.
Don't be mean to Klaus.
Klaus Schwab. I mean, he's lost his job, but.
You know what he's doing? You know what he's doing, apparently?
What's he doing?
He's working in a pet shop in Switzerland, selling piranhas to children.
Good on him. Yeah. Good luck.
That's what he contacted me recently. That's what he's doing. Anyway, yeah, so
was Danny doing the security? You remember in New South Wales when that Chinese guy with the cap gun, he got almost...
No.
He would have shot him.
He would have shot him if he was. He would have shot him.
Yeah, well, Ian Kiernan, the you know, the Clean Up Australia guy, and a couple of the other people, because he tripped on one of the cables. But it was just a cap gun. It wasn't a 38 or anything.
It was a miracle that he wasn't killed.
So he got that close.
Odd coincidence. I may have a boring life, but I always know lots more interesting people. And my old boss from the film security days was in the Special Air Service and this SBS, which is the same as the Special Air Service, but it's more aquatic. Mm. And when the Queen came in 1968, I think it was, to New Zealand and Australia, he was on sniper detail. And he was telling me, he said, he actually put her in his sights and trained the scope right on her. And he said to me, it went through my head that my ancestors would like to put one right through her head. Because, you know, he was a Maori. But he was very, very much pro-Queen. All these military types are really pro-royalists.
So he could shoot a fly off your nose, like from, you know, 300 yards.
Well, he told me that he actually put her in his telescopic sights.
Yeah.
He was having to look around to see, you know, because that's what they do. And that's hopefully a miracle.
His safety was on at that point.
Yeah, no, he would have had a safety.
Has he got a hair trigger? You got a hair trigger with those things?
You don't put
the hair trigger. You never know.
If you're a sniper, you do not put your hand on the trigger. At all until you're actually in mode. But he said he was training his sights, you know, like to look around.
And you take a whole bunch of those drugs to slow your heart rate down.
Back then they didn't. No, he was with the British 22 SAS, Amazon, sniper detail for the warp thing. And that's why I cannot believe that guy pulled out a gun and ran towards, or it was a cap gun, but ran towards Prince Charles.
I remember it was in Darling Harbour, yeah.
I know, but Rolla, if that was in America,
the guy would be dead.
He would have been dead.
Yeah, he would have been dead.
Even if they knew it was a cap gun, they would have shot him anyway.
Yeah, what do they call it? They would have ventilated him, or what's the term? You can't on
smoke,
YouTube.
Smoked them.
Or they squeezed.
They call it lit them up.
Yep.
They would have lit them up.
Oh, yeah. Do you still think the earshot of Donnie was fake?
100%.
I'm either way. I really don't care because Donnie is in my good. He's not on my shit list. All right, let's talk some shit. Where should we start tonight? Rick and Roller. I thought last week. Let's just our super duper producer Velocet. Hopefully he's giving me shit about my wife's television and how massive it is.
Yes, with exactly. And you've got that shit. You've got her crappy.
Yeah, I've got the hand-me-down. Yeah.
I know. You've got the money in the bank. Go and spend $350 maximum.
Get the super duper.
No, that's
800. 800 from the good guys. It's beautiful. Surround sound. Yeah, I know.
We'll move on because we briefly touched on Susie. Susie's made up a fantastic.
I've sent that to Velo.
I don't know if he's producing or not, but I'm just saying, it was one of the shows that we did, and I think it would have been on Fakeologist. I did that Klaus's. Sorry, not me.
It's lovely to have a fan like that. You know what it's like to have a fan, but then you don't you don't want them. It's nice to be
stalking you.
I listen to the audio. I think it's fantastic. Velo, are you there? Can you play that Susie?
It actually features Henry Kissinger and Hilda von Klackenschwab.
He talks like this. Roller, I'm not a poof. You're not a poof or nothing like that, I hope.
Hilda. And it's got Klaus Schwab. But in actual fact, Klaus came on and he read his vegan adrenochrome recipe, which I thought was hilarious because, you know, we're very lucky to have the real Klaus Schwab came onto our shows on Fakeologist.com.
She put some music behind it. I should be able to play it from here, but...
No, they don't need to.
I'm sure if Bello wants to. Playing. Last week when we were playing Status Quo and the Angels and Gary Jules, the Mad World.
Am I ever gonna hear your face again?
That was unbelievable. Here we go. Here's your song. Thank you, Bella. Rick and roll it.
What I am offering to show you today is my new recipe for vegan adrenochrome. This is 100% vegetable and fruit-based. Okay, it's wonderful. You don't have to feel, you know, that you are sacrificing small children or anything like that or terrifying them. What you do is you terrify your fruit and vegetables. I have barbed wire put around my vegetable patch, and the fruit trees have a machine gun pit based next to them in case any of the fruit decides to escape. And the other thing that we need to do is make sure your vegetables and fruit are miserable. And they are, you want them to be fearful. We scare them every night.
You have to do everything that we ask you to do on the dark side.
Are we supposed to scare people?
And the other thing that we need to do, and I lecture the carrots, that they are going to be put through the blender in the morning. I make sure they know they're going to be put through the blender. Cash for blender is slow. It's got lots of sharp, nasty, pointy bits in it, and it makes the carrots suffer before they ice the adrenochrome into your daily or vegetable juice or fruit juice every morning.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing you need to do is threaten the fruit and vegetables that if they try to escape, they'll be rounded up and put in the crisper bin in the refrigerator.
Please don't send me in there with him.
I don't want to go in there. I'm happy here.
This is so sad. Really sad.
And the other thing what you do is you need to sow seeds of this trust into them. They must also, what I tell the beetroot is that the carrots betrayed them.
Just can you edit everything I just said out?
The carrots are the reasons they are going to be blended up in the morning. And this gets them angry. They get more adrenochrome through their throat systems. And then I tell the carrots that the beetroot are plotting against them.
Can you edit that out, please?
And the other thing I must say, do never trust broccoli. Don't trust them. They are duplicious. And they will accept anything, and they will go around and tell the other vegetables good things. I feel fantastic.
Great. Wonderful.
I get all warm inside when you say these things.
Anyway, I better go. But that was wonderful to talk to you all.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to me.
Fuck off, Klaus Schwab.
That was brilliant. Wow. Look at all the sound design that went into that and the the AI imagery, all the slides. Yeah. Oh, my God, what a lot of work.
She apparently had to type each little bit out like endlessly.
There was artwork describing everything. Yeah. But the sound design, all the sound effects and everything were great.
Yeah, Welcome, Jolo. Welcome, Jolo. Rick and Rollo and Jolo.
Don't get too excited and suddenly start suggesting every song under the sun that I can play. Act like I'm not here, if you know.
But Joel, what she actually included your very famous sound grab of that, the screech from the woman.
Yeah.
Jennifer Spell. Jennifer Spell that goes into the and that same voice or that scream appeared somewhere else as well, didn't it? Wasn't it that you discovered that? Highly commended, Joel.
It was Simon Schatz that had the one. It was her screaming with the cymbal that had that reverse drum cymbal. Yeah. When she screamed, that was the why he highlighted that. Yeah.
That was on 9/11
September.
Is it next week? We got... I don't think I'll be on next week, actually, Rollo. There won't be a Rick and Rollo next Saturday. I'm in Melbourne.
Oh, no.
I'll be in Melbourne.
Oh, you're in Melbourne. All right.
Yeah, no show can't next
you,
Saturday.
Can't you do it from there?
I doubt it. But I'll be
why? No, there's no internet in Melbourne.
There's no internet in Melbourne.
Dan Andrews, actually. I saw Dan Andrews during the week. He's in fucking China, the gun. Knocking around with... John G. Wing Ping. But did you notice he was right up the back and he was like on the furthest of the right with his big ears. Fucking stay over each other. Here we go.
but guess who was also over there? The second ugliest New Zealand Prime Minister ever, Helen Clark. That looks like Frankenstein.
Oh, she's over there too. She was there.
And John Keyes, who was another New Zealand Prime Minister, he was in the line. So all these socialists.
So they're all foreign. Like Bob Carr. Remember Bob Carr? Like we fucked him up as New South Wales Premier.
Yeah, what a cunt.
He was a suck up. My father hated his guts. When my father met him, when we got the Ginnin and got that fucking job to make the trains.
He's got a really deep voice. Bob Carr has a really, really deep voice.
Yeah, but he didn't give a shit about New South Wales.
He didn't give a shit about the trains.
He didn't give a shit about anything. All he gave a shit about was him. You got it.
Yeah. Hey, Joel, good to hear your dulcet tones out there.
Nice to hear you guys back on Truth Meets again.
As usual. Hey, thank you. When are we doing the Lithgow Bilderberger? I'm keen to do it.
When a block of days off work come up.
Yeah.
On the calendar will be when
you watching you cook on my little master little thing. I could actually bring that there, but
I need one like that now. I've only got the grill. I need one that's half.
I can bring grill. It with me.
What's the other half? They call it.
Just the flat.
What's the flat the half? Hot plate. No.
Yeah,
there's a name
for
it.
Yeah, the hot plate.
No.
And then the grill.
Why can't I remember the name? Fuck.
I don't know. Never mind. I'll think of it eventually.
Are you retarded?
No,
oh, I'm definitely not retarded. You know what I was just working on? I realized when the bumpers play, the recording and the stream hear it straight away, but it takes like Discord time to get to you, and then you react, and then your voice takes time to get back. So you're like 200 milliseconds behind the bumpers. So when I had it shut down then, I was adding in a 200 millisecond delay so that it should sound more in sync.
God,
when you guys react to it, the bumper should be in sync with you. I realized it was happening on the recording and the stream. They're happening slightly ahead because Discord round trip time of your voice to hear them and react to them. It doesn't make sense. So I thought I'd add a bit of a delay so it should sound more accurate now. You won't get cut off or talk too late. Yeah.
You sound like Rick with his fucking lawn. Every blade of grass got to be the same height.
Yep.
We've all got a little bit of OCD.
Don't start because I'll go out there and start measuring lawn weeds.
Can I ask Velocet, have you seen the final episode of Dexter yet?
I have, but you shouldn't go giving it away for the audience either, really.
You don't ruin it.
I won't. There's not much spoilers.
The term I was looking for is a griddle. A griddle's the flat thing. You can do an egg or you can do it like a smash burger,
yeah.
Whereas the grill is the flame.
I want
the half-half option where you can do an egg on one half and the burger on the other half.
Well, look, Joel, I don't care if that was what Rollo's barbecue could do, I'm going to go out there and buy one of the Rollo's barbecues because
$200.
It was definitely a good value package, that thing, for what it did.
Yeah.
You can't cook for 10 people all at once, but it's good for up to four people, I reckon, that size.
Perfect. It was perfect. And look, the way the meat was done, this is what interests me the most, is the way you made the patties with all of the beef. With no squashing of anything, it was all hand spun.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was kept in the fridge to chill, which is unusual because they don't usually do that, do they? That's what I've learned the difference.
Generally, people, you leave, if you're going to cook steaks and shit and you want to do them medium rare, you have to bring them, leave them out for a few hours. You need to bring everything to room temperature. But it's the opposite with burgers. When you're dealing with minced beef, you actually want it to be ice cold when it goes on the grill. It has a different effect and it prevents it from doing like shrinking and chubbying up and having problems. By the way, the style I cook was the traditional sort of chubby or thick burger where it's a very gently massaged patty. There is this trend on YouTube of like smash burgers where you do actually use like a plate and squish them really flat and compressed, but it's a completely different style. They end up way crispier. It's a whole different methodology to what I was doing. So mine's one of the two.
What I really like was the flames almost hitting the top of my balcony.
Yeah, yeah.
You
shouldn't be aiming for that, by the way. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
Rick and Rollo, back up the break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
The 6th of September 2025, you're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show on truthmeets.com. I was just going to say, the other thing to think, the thick ones, right, if you can imagine, they're the ones where it's thick enough that you can do it medium rare and that, right? You got flexibility. You could overdo them or underdo them. You can leave like pink in the middle. Whereas Smash,
you're just flattening them. Undercooked minced beef.
No, not you can go to places where you buy you can order a burger and say I want it medium rare. That can be done. Mm. And that's the style I was cooking. Don't get me wrong, I cooked them well through, but it was the type of patty that's like sort of aerated and gently put together where you have the option of leaving it pink in the middle if you want, right? The smash burgers where they use a plate and you compress it really thin, but it's very dense. And then it ends up much crispier because it's so thin, it's going to crisp up even like very quick. So then you usually do a double and like do two layers of beef.
Sure.
I just learned that there's these two major ideologies.
I've still got some of your special sauce.
Oh, God, that's probably gone bad by now. I'd chuck that out.
Chuck that out, you reckon?
You know what I played with today?
Your cooking style is so confident.
Hmm.
I love your confidence.
I'm only confident.
When you produce a radio show with confidence, when you're cooking, I like my eggs.
Oh.
When you did that breakfast, you did that breakfast the perfect way.
It's funny you should mention eggs because when I know what I'm talking about, I don't want to be told how to suck eggs. But burgers, audio, or today I was doing. I got out my Weber pizza stone and was doing homemade pizza in the oven on the pizza
stone. Oh, stop it! You're making me.
I just
make me drown in my own slobber. Yeah,
I just bought a burger for my older son. Who's been looking after my cat all week, babysitting my cat. Did a fantastic job.
Good boy.
But anyway, I've got a gourmet burger shop, which is a miracle of the quality that it is in the little town not far from me in Lawrenton.
near Port Macquarie, we say. That's what we say.
Around there. Anyway, the guy that owns it's a Kiwi, another Kiwi. And New Zealanders and burgers always go well because the best burgers I've ever had were back in New Zealand, back in the day. Anyway, he's got this burger shop and he's got opened up another one in Taree. He wants to open up another one in Port Macquarie. And he only does 3 or 4 burgers. There's no multiple choice burgers. It's what he's got in there. But his burger quality, the style and the chips, and he said he sources chips. He said it's extremely hard to find good chips at the moment. So he gets them from some place in Taree, I do believe. But I buy them for my son, and it's like it comes in a brown paper, brown cardboard box. You got the burger wrapped up, beautifully done, every time perfect. And you get a selection of, you got your chips on the side, and you can get aioli or whatever. But these are really high quality burgers.
You sound like fucking John Laws now doing an ad for your brother.
That's true.
No, it's all good, mate.
No, John Laws hasn't got a brother.
Fush and chops. That's it.
You're an idiot.
Anyway, we'll move on from the burger. Rollo, I saw on Facebook this week. I've been in the winner is since Sydney. Sunday night. The winner is Sydney, and so I've been there since
the
Sunday night.
The winner is back. Sydney. Australia.
Thank you.
I got back. Now I drove last night. I left the winner is at about 8:30. Got to the turn off at Warunga at 9, and got home. I was heading home. Newcastle. I would like to see Newcastle blown to pieces. By napalm, that fucking road, they're doing this huge big bypass, but it makes you go so much slower because they make the speed zone 40 Ks an hour. And they are working overnight, so there are workers around, but 40 Ks an hour,
40 Ks an hour, yeah.
And it
you know some sneaky cops just going to be waiting there to fuck you over because you're doing 110 or something.
And you're gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got to Taree and all of a sudden, man, look, not even in, I never saw this on any weather app because I look at the weather apps often before I leave. It rained from Taree to the turn off where I go to my place. I'm talking about cats and dogs on steroids. You couldn't see the road. The roads are so bad that the white lines, when it's shiny, when there's trucks coming towards you and white lines, they go invisible. You can't see them. So you got to drive. I'm driving at 100 Ks an hour and I have to like focus forward to see those glowing bits you've got. They put those reflector things every now and then. It's so easily you go off the road. It's just so dangerous. Last night was one of the most dangerous drives I've done, and I'm telling you, man, I've done some dangerous drives. But the Taree to Port Macquarie line is the worst part of the road because of the, I guess it's the rainforest there that release all the cloud. The rain comes down, it turns into cloud, goes back up again, comes down even heavier. But, man, it was fucking bad news. But anyway, I'm home, and I'm drinking beer. Every time I have a sip, it's going straight into my brain, nerves.
Well, I'm outside smoking a cigarette, one of these Manchesters.
Why not?
Let me tell Velocet. You know that
80 bucks.
I went down 80 bucks for a packet of 12 of 20. And that night, what did I get? I walked 50, all the way down to the BP, 50 bucks for 20 ciggies. So just so we didn't wake you up, aren't we nice guys?
I appreciate your time. And me and Velo, what's Dexter, the brand new one?
$20 per pack. How many packs?
12.
12? 80 bucks. Not six, 12.
Yeah.
So 12 packs of 20.
Yeah.
Yep.
So 240 smokes.
$80.
Yep.
Yep. Wait, that's
not
only, did I get that right?
Not only have I got that, hey, when we come for the Bilderberg
240 cigarettes for 80 bucks.
Yeah, that's $80.
I know the shop that sells them here in town. Maybe that's what I'll do. That's a really good deal. Do they have them in menthol, though?
That's the deal. Yes, I bet you they do. Illegal ones, I bet you can get menthol. No problem. That's where
they have menthol. Trust me, but they're a little bit more expensive. Trust me, I are. He was an Asian guy, and he said, menthol, no problem. No problem. I could have got pot there, or I could have got, you know, all sorts of things.
Last night, this is the good father I am. Father's Day tomorrow. I just mentioned this. Father's Day tomorrow. I'll be going out with at least two of my children. I just went to the gym. And there's an illegal tobacco shop two doors up from it in a town that's dead after 4 o'clock on a Friday. Nothing happens. But
there's did you say legal or illegal?
Illegal. Yeah.
Illegal.
Well, I can go in there. But anyway, when I was in Ashfield on Thursday night, my son, he vapes, right? And he said, Dad, can you get me a vape? I went in there. I'm telling you, it looks like a fucking a giant glowing. It's got every paraphernalia to do with smoking, except for maybe, I'm not sure if they sell pot. I don't think they do. But I said, what flavor vapes have you got? And he gave me this list. So I got him a Fanta, orange Fanta flavored I Get, which is 10,000 or 15,000 puffs for $40 cash, and brought it home with me yesterday. That's the kind of father.
Amazing.
Even though I'm against vaping. But it's like, you know, to me, it's like...
You would have seen when Velo stayed at my place for the 3 weeks, he had this most amazing vape machine I've ever seen in my life. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it was... I think they made that all illegal now, too, with the New Zealand... Yeah,
but if you want them, you just go online and order one. Guaranteed.
Yep.
I don't care what anyone says. I just went again into a giant superstore for vapes in a country that these are illegal in, and there's about 10 other shops on that same stretch of road in Ashfield that all sell illegal vapes and illegal tobacco, whatever, and it's cheap. As you said, $80 for 240 cigarettes.
Who makes it legal and who makes it illegal? Like, look, I'm smoking a cigarette right now and I'm loving it. And I must admit, even though it cost me 50 bucks, it cost me 50 bucks for those 20 cigarettes. just smoking there with Velocet, watching the new Dexter together. It was it, and you guys out the back appreciating my little humble abode next. I can't believe that train didn't come by the whole time.
I'll tell you this. I have to just give you advice. So do not smoke inside your house. That's when you become. It becomes part of your life.
You're not out the front. Why wouldn't you sit out the back? Out the front, you liar. You're inside. Bullshit.
I'm out the front. I'm out the front. Rosie's
there's nothing out the front.
Through the big. Yes, there is.
Where are you sitting?
Remember where we walked over to the. To the gate, and you said you've got privileges that most of us don't have to that lock. Do you remember that?
I didn't say those words. I have privileges that you don't have. I said I have keys to that gate. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate there it is. they are. Can I just freaking loud?
Yeah, no. Look, they haven't gone past. As yet, but one will be going past soon. Tonight they are spraying the fuck out of the sky up where I am, and it went.
Oh yeah,
the sunset was
on. Into that?
Am I still into it? It's going on, and guess what? It's going on in New Zealand where they never, ever, ever did it till COVID, and now I'm getting messages from on Facebook from. Friends are living in New Zealand, they can see all of a sudden they've got lines in their skies and they've had them before.
when we were talking just in the green room before we came on, you were saying over there we had Dan Andrews over there, we had John Keyes over there.
We'll talk about that. You know, so Dan Andrews is in China, in the People's Republic of China.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, but also... The ugly, as I said, the second ugliest prime minister New Zealand ever had, and I'm telling you, she's a fucking scare, a monster. Helen Clark, she was there next to Dan Andrews, wearing a hood, and she looks like what's that guy's the evil guy from Star Wars?
Palpatine.
She looks like Emperor Palpatine. And I don't think it's a woman. I think it's a man. I'm going to have to be a EGI guy here.
Like Kerry Chan. Kerry Chan, who was under Gladys Berejiklian.
Yeah.
In the lockdown days.
The ugliest fuck of a fucking person on the planet. And it's not the fact that, like, if she was a nice – or sorry, if he was a nice person and doing wonderful things for humanity –
no one would give a fuck.
No one would give a fuck. But even if they were ugly physically, you wouldn't notice it because they give off an aura of goodness.
I'm just glad that Dan Andrews, because he turned Melbourne into a police state, and no cunt wants him back here in Australia. Look, as much as Bob Carr was a bit of a succubus when it came to... there was never any hope of him. I think he wanted to be prime minister, but my father, he just wanted to vomit on him, because he had no interest in the construction of trains or anything. No. All he wanted was the glory of whatever it was.
I was listening to a show the other night John Stanley show. And on 2GB.
I met him. Yeah, he's a nice guy, really nice guy.
Yeah, really nice guy, Anyway, he was saying that back in 1970-something, he said when China was like a third-world country, they still had very fast trains, full-floater, German-designed full-floater system trains that could travel 200 miles an hour back then.
Why don't we have them here in Australia?
Right. It's a complete good point because we would be able to travel. I could travel you could travel from Newcastle to Sydney in under an hour.
On a bullet train, you'd be there in an hour, easily.
35 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. Boom.
That'd be awesome. And that way you wouldn't worry that you couldn't smoke on the train. You'd be there in an hour. You can stop. Exactly. Smoking for an hour. Yeah. And they then maybe have a.
Then again, maybe if it was a steam train, you could smoke and no one would notice.
Well, that's true. That is true, Jollo. 100%.
All right. 100%. All right. Enough about trains. Let's talk about Graham Linehan, the Father Ted writer, getting arrested. So he did a few tweets on X. Trans being, well, I think I've always said people with gender dysphoria or whatever the fuck that's called.
Dysmorphia,
right?
Yeah. It's not dysmorphia, it's dysphoria.
Dysphoria.
There's body dysmorphia. And then there's gender dysphoria.
Hey, can I just say this? After giving up alcohol now during the week and I don't eat at night anymore, all of a sudden, about a year ago, it was on my birthday, I was working on this huge, big job.
What was that?
I was working on this huge, big job, and the winner is Sydney. And I went downstairs and I had a shower in this bathroom in a house that's worth $40 million, $50 million, easy. And they have underlighting. Like I pressed this button and it had underlighting, overlighting, side lighting, whatever. And I was looking at myself and I was going, oh, my. I said to myself, it can't be me. Because all of a sudden I looked and there were fat rolls there and fat rolls here.
You're kidding me.
Anyway,
Rick, how the other half lives, isn't it amazing? How the other half lives sometimes.
Well, it is.
It's amazing.
You
were saying before one of your friends. Have we mentioned it? Who we've already mentioned that he was.
Oh yeah, no. Talk about the teeth thing. Yeah. We knew what to talk about. Well, we're talking.
I just wanted to hold on to the Graham Linehan who wrote for Father Ted.
Okay, yeah.
He just
creator of the IT Crowd as well.
IT yes, exactly. Crowd yep. And Father Ted.
Great show.
Got in and he's now suing the Metropolitan Police in UK because he had guns pointed at him.
Can you believe that?
And yeah. And the guy that runs the Met, Scotland Yard or whatever, says, I'm embarrassed that we have to do that. And I go, this is Graham Linehan.
Why would you have done it if you're embarrassed about it? Like, a guy sends three tweets about trannies while he's in America. When he comes back to
visit, he's got guns pointed at him. And he gets handcuffed. Put on the ground, humiliated and that. And then the Met. The bill. I remember this day.
Good show, though.
Oh, I used to love it.
That was written by Dave Greenslade.
It's a man, baby!
Dave Greenslade wrote that theme and got played, and he was actually quite a good musician. There you go. And trivia on the Rick and Roller Show. I'll be told. 100%.
I used to love the guy that was so drunk on set. He was one of my favorite characters, the detective.
It was the guy with the big nose.
He was dead. Rick and Roller.
La 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 la.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
John Lloyd, okay. Rick and Roller, 46, Saturday, the 6th of September, 2025. Yes. Yeah, the bill. He was one of, because the bill didn't only have, boots on the street. Police, but it had detectives, and he had a real massive drinking problem, but it only got to a point where I think his name was it John Lloyd, Kevin Lloyd, It was something. And
John Lloyd was a writer.
Oh, okay. Let me look the actor up. But it was so sad because when he got sacked, I'm sorry to bring death into the room, but he 2 weeks later he self-deleted. He self-deleted. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't have the job anymore. Yeah.
Speaking of people that died this week, Mark Volman passed away. Okay. It's good that Jollo's here because one of my favourite songs.
Okay.
Who? Any song that uses the word etc. in its lyrics to me means a genius songwriter. And Mark Volman from the Turtles, and also they were known as Flo and Eddie. They were two guys, and if you go on YouTube, you can actually see their Mark Volman and forget the other guy's name, but they were known as Flo and Eddie. That's an aquatic term.
What was their biggest hit?
Happy Together, but we don't want to play that. Happy Together, which was a joke. These guys wrote the song as a joke, the Turtles.
Happy Together, 1967. Happy Together, come on, Bello. It only goes for two.
Before, Rollo,
before.
Is that the Imagine Me and You?
So the song was written as a joke to parody love songs because it's just if you listen to the lyrics, it's a total.
Oh, let's do it.
And they had no idea. They did it as a parody. This is just going to be a joke. And it became one of the biggest hits. Oh.
Rick and Rollo.
Is that it? That's not it.
Imagine me and you. I do.
Not that version.
I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you like.
Wrong version?
It does sound, but that is actually them still. That's it's their official album. Their official channel.
I'll tell you why.
That actually says by Flo and Eddie. There's a separate version that says by the Turtles. Maybe that will make a difference.
Yeah, okay, so what happened? They got... that's it.
I know that riff, yeah. It's been a million movies. Imagine probably not getting the joke either.
I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, so ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together.
Bullshit. Fuck you.
Rest in peace.
Mark Volman was the guy. I think it was.
How old was he? And when did we lose him?
78. Today or yesterday?
Oh, today. Yeah.
No, but these two guys were part of a very talented duo. They were a very talented duo. They could write and sing, and they wrote that song as a joke to say this is how bad music is. And it became one of the biggest selling hits ever in the 60s. But it was a parody of love songs.
Yeah, it happens. Hey, Rick, it happens all the time. They're bringing back Knight Rider. They pitched it to the Hollywood, a car that could talk to you as a joke. And they went, fuck yeah, let's do this. David Hasselhoff, we've got Knight Rider now, and they're going to bring it back again.
Yeah, I know. But going forth, or you know, moving on with, you know, what's this? Why do I keep saying that? Moving on, you know, okay. Moving yeah, forward. Sure. So Mark Volman and his writing partner that wrote that song, they got poached by Frank Zappa because he realised these guys can just, everything they write turns to gold, and they became part of the Mothers of Invention. And Flo and Eddie worked for
what was their Frank biggest Zappa. Hit? Mothers of Invention.
No, they never had hits, but Frank Zappa was turning the music industry upside down. He just went hard and just made jokes about everything, about music and TV ruining your life. I know it's fantastic.
I love Dexter. It's dark, but it's comedic. Yeah.
But on YouTube years ago, I'm talking about many years ago, about 10 to 15 years ago.
Well, YouTube's been around since 2007.
Okay, well, they
Maybe
released
it was a
video.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a video of Mark Volman and his writing partner explaining how they got ripped off. They made no money because they got done over by all it. Everything they did got turned to shit. It was like, even though they should have been the, you know, billionaires or trillionaires with all the music they released. But one of the songs I love, and I hope Jollo can play it, is called Eleanor, because it actually features.
Of course, he can.
They were clever enough to write the word et cetera in a song. And Clive Robertson, you know, me and you are big fans of Clive Robertson, and you spoke to him, I spoke to him.
Huge fan.
He used to say, it's the only song he knows that they use the word et cetera in, which is fantastic. And apart from the King and I, it's just it doesn't mean anything. Just, here we go.
You got a thing about you. I just can't live without you. I really want you and anyone near me. Your looks intoxicate. Even though your folks hate me, there's no one like you, Eleanor, really. Eleanor, gee, I think you're swell, and you really do me well. You're my pride and joy, etc. Eleanor, can I take the time to ask you to speak your mind? Let's go out to a movie. What do you see now? Eleanor, can we? They'll turn the lights way down low. Maybe we won't watch the show. I think I love you, Eleanor. Love me.
Yeah. Great song.
Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
I just sent a little bit of Clive. We lost Clive in December 2024, and yeah, I'm honored to have spoken to him. And when I spoke to him at like 4 a.m. on 2UE, he said, "Don't be afraid to talk to Richard John Laws." And I go, Richard? And I didn't know. Why did he call himself John Laws if his name's Richard? He goes, because he's a dickhead. That's what Clive Robertson said to me. I just sent a little Clive Robertson 1 minute, him being irreverent. Bella.
I'll play that for you, and then from then on, you will act like I'm not here.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Joel, because you know what.
Ryan's no. It's okay. I'm here, and I understand that, but I don't want to make the whole show depend on constant sound clips and things. Like, you guys talking is just as much fun.
I've got a great conversation. I've got so much great conversation to have. And I want to talk about Dave Lee Roth, and that's a great subject for Rollo.
Well, he's one of television's odd people. But love him or hate him, Clive Robertson is a man you cannot ignore. And that's just what Barclays Bank thought when they invited him to be the star of their new series of commercials. Between television engagements at the moment, Clive decided to have a go. Sandra Odorizio had the challenge of interviewing one of television's eccentrics.
I think perhaps marriage is almost silly. I don't like big businessmen. You know, I can't cope with men with earrings. I can't cope with people who wear weird clothing. I can't cope with weird people. I think I'm terribly normal. I think the rest of the world's a bit dicey.
The world according to Clive Robertson. Most viewers would recognise Robbo as the former host of that other late-night news programme, News World.
I used to be on daytime television, but they discovered people were watching. Put you away. Walk with personality, talk with personality, smile with personality, charm with personality. That's where it is. Oh. You're wondering how I got this job. Well, it was like this.
We have come to remove Darren Finch from your midst and destroy him before he destroys himself.
Just a simple office. I've never had one in my whole life. Management is calling to me. They heard about the job offers over Christmas. Good evening, I'm Israel tonight. This, I don't know how, there you are.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He did Midnight Till Dawn.
He did lots of shows, but Rollo, his News Hour show was the only time the world ever saw truth in news hours or TV, TV news show, because he would make comments and say things after he saw each clip, and often just, you know, he'd read the story and go, I'm not reading this, and throw the story that he'd been told to read behind his head.
That's why he didn't last long on TV, did he?
No.
That's why he ended up doing Midnight to Dawn, and that's why we ended up getting to speak to the legend Clive Robertson.
Rollo, I got $200 cash in 2010, I guess, when he was doing 2GB overnights. I answered three questions and I won $200 in cash, which I got sent by 2GB. Yeah. And many times
do you remember the questions you answered?
I can't, but I got them 100%. Yeah, it was 100%.
Yeah.
I'm very good. Yeah. I'm very good when I'm
right. And he was true to his word. He gave you got 2GB dollars, 2GB cash.
It wouldn't have been his money, but he was to me the most honest news and like the guy, you know, when people say all media stars are bad, he was honest and he said it. And he did it. And he spoke to you for hours. He spoke to me for hours.
No, not hours. He gave me 20 minutes or something. And that's a long time. But that's a midnight till dawn. Yeah. He went to a break and then came back to me. But Lawsy's done that to me one time. John Laws, his show. He said, we've got to go to a break, Rollo. We'll come back after the break. Yeah, I think I was talking about Mary Had a Little Lamb with fries and a Coke. And he said, I need to get off. Alive. Thank you, Lord. You blockheaded bastard. I think
all of us here on the show tonight are radio tragics.
We are talkback radio tragics. I think of 2GB, I think of, well, present day, I think of that Fordham, Ben Fordham.
But
back in the day, I think of Alan Jones. I think of 2GB. No, Lawsy I associate with 2UE.
Yeah.
He was on 2GB. Hadley. I don't know why he retired so young, but I was a huge fan of his.
I'll tell you why. It's the same with it's the same with my favourite show, the George and Paul show. George Moore, he retired.
Okay.
Now this is a guy with absolute impeccable background in radio, because the radio station said, if you say something that your audience disagrees with and you get sued, you will have to pay for the damages. We're not covering you anymore. And so a whole
So the talkback star doesn't have immunity. The station won't cover what he says.
Exactly. Wow. And before they did. And so
a little bit like the jab, because they're not giving that out willy nilly anymore, because there's a new thing in America, well, especially in America, Donald Trump has overturned some rule that says you don't have total immunity, and that's why pharmacies that give it out can actually get sued, not the actual Pfizer or Johnson or Moderna. Yeah, yeah.
They've been given immunity for a long time.
Oh, they've got immunity up their ass. I mean, there's no way that Johnson and Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca.
I'll bring an interesting story up. I was in one of my offices that I do on a Friday night last night, and the son of one of the directors of this office. I bumped into him, because we always have a great conversation. Last time, you know, I remember basically thinking he was still a child, because I used to look at on the wall in his mother's office area. There are pictures of him, you know, climbing up a tree with a boomerang, you know, like as a kid. But now he's like 35 years of age. And I said, how are you going? Had a great conversation. Then he told me, my best friend just died last week of cancer. And I went, what? And I said, how old are you? And he said, 35. And so his friend had got what we would call turbo cancer. Mm-hmm. He was fine for 2 weeks ago, he died 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And this guy's gutted. And I said to him, look, I gave him my advice, which I always do, Rick Simpson CBD oils, use Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine.
Or the Gerson therapy. Rick Simpson.
Gerson, Rick Simpson. You do not go to hospital with aggressive cancer, you go and
you go to hospital to die. Yeah, don't get this. Once you're mandated to it's where Australia went wrong during that period, was where you had to use your phone, and I knew that was getting to a point where they were trying to if you didn't have you had to have social credit points, and that would be including vaccination. This is what these maniacs wanted, and it took a while for Australia to push back. They got it for a while there. Why do you think I'm here? Yeah,
you're one, and I'm look. I'm not saying look, I'm one, but
Velo. He pushed back. You pushed back, and I'm glad you did, because you're here and you're in excellent health. There are so many people,
and
people are still getting the jabs. Like Donald Trump said something the other day. It was his offsider. Yeah, the guy with the craggy voice, Robert Kennedy Jr. or something. It says it's not going to be mandated anymore.
I don't know about Robert Kennedy Jr., to be honest. You're listening to
Rick and Rollo 46, back after the break.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
What?
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show, episode number 46. Is that right, Rollo? On
I think it's right.
The 6th of September 2025. Beatled 100%. Back to the hosts, Rick and Rollo.
Thank you, Quentin Pose. You do sound like Kenny Everett, the video show. We were talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's got a dicky voice, so everyone sort of makes fun of him. But he seems to the conscience where he look, people attack him because of that voicing. Who knows where that if that's a what do you call it? Some people have nervous. I've met people that have nervous conditions that they stutter sometimes. If I'm on air, I'd say, pretend you're John Laws or Ray Hadley.
I am John Laws. Good evening. Are you in the room, Rollo? Hello, Lord. Hello, Lord.
First time caller, a long time listener, John.
Good. I can tell you to fuck off if I need to be told.
But, John, yeah, exactly. I've got a point I wanted to get across.
You sound like you're very nervous. What's your call? The caller's name, Rollo? Very nervous.
Yeah, exactly. If you've got that power, and once. It is. It can be quite unnerving.
I was on law, and we haven't got the recording of it, sadly, but I was
you
on
and Laws.
John Laws.
I heard it.
Yeah, and I said how wonderful he was, and I said, play that song, Girls in the Summer Clothes.
Girls in the Summer Clothes. Was that
Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen. I keep thinking that was... the guy from Roxy Music.
Brian Ferry.
Girls. He played Girls in the Summer Clothes 5 fucking times that day.
Yeah, but he played it.
And see, he drove his producers nuts.
Yeah, no, but when I said it to him, he went, that's a great song, Rick. And he went, bang. He must have either waved to his producer or did it himself. And that song came on. 5 seconds after I mentioned it.
All right.
There was no pre-warning.
Let's have it. Hello, Bello. He said, don't pretend you're not here, but Girls in the Summer Clothes, we have to have it now, just for the good old days, remember? Like, you were confident with Lawsy. You were confident with Hadley.
I never got to speak to Hadley. Ever.
Joel
already worked for big stars, so he knew how.
When he was on Kiss with Kyle and Jackie. I'm not huge fans of them, no. but Lawsy did suck up to them.
I actually support Kyle and Jackie O now after hearing what happened to them when they got attacked by that. Those witches, whatever they call themselves. They call themselves some kind of witches.
Okay. Try to get them cancelled or something.
Yeah, exactly, because they were saying things. Now, I think freedom of speech. I think if you want to listen to a radio show, you've got to have freedom of speech. And you want people...
Well, if you want freedom of speech, here we go. I'll do best of Kyle and Jackie O. What about when when he's talking to Ernie Dingo? Do you remember this? I'll find it. Yeah. It's a classic. He's just being a typical Kyle. You know, he lives at Vaucluse. He never shops, you know, he gets DoorDash, you know, he doesn't know real people at all.
No.
When he tries to talk to people, they're all celebrities. And one of my favorite fuck ups with Kyle was a band called, they were up in Queensland, and she went up there. It was Frenzel Rom. Do you remember the band Frenzel Rom back in the mid-80s? Yes. Yeah. So what did they started? While Jackie was on stage, upstaging this. They started playing AC/DC over the top of it, Thunderstruck or something. And then they couldn't get the fuck off the stage. It's not your show. It's our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then again, Kyle doesn't know. You've got to work the room. You've got to know who you're talking to. And this cunt wasn't going to take his bullshit. He said, you fucking don't threaten me. You know, it's a back and forth. I'll send that. Do you want to hear the Frenzel Rum guy go against Kyle Jackie O?
Well, if you can. Send it to Jolo. Send it to Jolo.
I will. I will. But again, apart from that, I mean, it's an easy listening station. I'd rather listen to 2CH. I want Ron Casey. Can you do Ron Casey?
No, but they're all gone. You know, they're all gone.
I know.
And that's the sad thing about radio in Australia. Back in the day, it was an influential thing. And now you've got Ben Fordham on 2GB, the weakest fucking voice I've ever heard in my life. And then you got Mark Levy coming on after him. Weak, 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 imitating Ray Hadley. And Ray Hadley, to me, you know, g'day, Ray Hadley here. Like high pitched voice. This guy is not John. Yeah. But he had some good stuff, but he was, you know, Ray Hadley here.
There were a few things that I really liked about. I just sent that to Velo. There you go. You should have that. Jay from Pencil Rom owns Kyle and Jackie O from on Fox FM. What I liked about Ray Hadley, one, the way he got his start in radio, which was calling horse racing.
Yes.
And it was about horse racing.
Mark Levy, another horse racing.
Yep.
Racing this time, coming down the road.
Yeah, here we go. And he's coming out. Here comes Rollo. And Nanny and Rick. And Rollo. And Rick got it by a nose.
Roast-a-nose coming down the rabbit over there.
But these guys haven't got deep voices like us. And they have, to me, I want to hear a deep voice. And that's one of my favorite, Hello World, Clive Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Clive Robertson's friend, who was very good, who John Laws threatened many times, Mike Jeffries. Mike Jeffries has, the best radio voice ever.
What did you give John Tingle? Did you think John Tingle's
high-pitched voice, kind
too
of.
Too high,
Blake
Jeffries. Mike Jeffries. You know who he didn't like? He didn't like the dwarf. What did he call him? When Lawsy left 2UE and then he went to 2SM, the guy that took his spot was that guy from South Australia. Steve Price. Steve Price.
Another point. With a
High-pitched dwarf. It's
so interesting hearing them on AM and FM, isn't it? Even Lawsy on.
To me, it shows, because me and you have both got deep voices, and we can
do what we do. If we want to.
But these guys can't do that.
John.
Hey,
mate. It was the Down syndrome guy that he used to give, 15 minutes to. Dale, I think his name was Dale or something, everyone loved the guy called, now what was his name, that really gave it to him, and he was talking to the guy from 2GB, the Silver Spoon guy that you reckon that
you're talking about Ben Fordham, Silver
Spoon. Ben Fordham, I think Lawsy's so old now. He couldn't recognise that he was playing an old clip of this guy that used to rip on him, and he did it
moving on, because I think we're boring people that aren't in Australia.
Yeah, let's move on.
Dave Lee Roth. Now I just saw a clip on Facebook.
Sure.
It was some chick It was in the audience of Dave Lee Roth, alive on stage, singing. Mm. And she was like this, looking at the camera, going, she had that look, you know, that look like, you know, what the fuck? He couldn't sing. He looks like a little accountant, basically, in a movie, in a gangster movie. Because David Roth, I guess I would have to say, would possibly be Jewish, and I think he is. He now looks
not
very
Jewish. Not there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's anything wrong with that. But he doesn't have the looks that he did back in the day. And he couldn't sing. It was terrible. And this chick was just like sharing.
This is just recent, is it?
Very, very recently. Now, I remember the song, we were talking about this last week, Jumping the Shark. Well, when Dave Lee Roth.
Oh, yeah, that's Happy Days. That's Fonzie. Yeah, he goes,
in 1984, Van Halen came out with an album called Jump. Now, I'm suggesting after that album came out, which had some good songs, Hot for Teacher and Jump and a few other, some good songs on it. Dave Lee Roth has been jumping the shark to be a rock star, and I feel sorry, literally, for him. I do feel sorry for him, because can you imagine being a really good-looking rock star in the 70s and you had millions and, or say thousands, but say hundreds of thousands of females that thought you were the best-looking guy.
And yeah, I just sent it to Velo. Fans walk out. I mean, it's awful to hear. We'll have to hear it. Terrible. David Lee Roth, shocking vocal meltdown caught on camera.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm sure.
We don't need to play it, but what I'm saying is that this guy.
Yes, we do. We need to. Whitney Houston should never have been on stage singing, "And I will always love you." She couldn't do it anymore, but they still.
No, I understand.
You know,
I understand.
Yeah, but on stage,
Dave Lee Roth has got his hair, like his hair's gone. He's got this huge nose. It looks like an eagle.
What do you think? Angus Young looks like fucking Santa Claus.
Oh my God. No, look, they've got to get rid of that. I'm telling you, I wouldn't pay 50 cents. To go and see AC/DC right now. I grew up with AC/DC, and actually worked as a roadie for a tribute band for AC/DC. They were called TNT in the 80s, late 80s. They were fantastic. They looked, even though the lead singer was a big fat Italian who sounded just like Bon Scott, they looked fantastic. And the guy that was Angus Young, he looked like Angus Young, and he played great guitar. To me, AC/DC should have retired 15 years ago, minimum. 15 years ago.
I used to love tribute bands, and when you meet them, and they're so honest, and they, but the band themselves, sometimes you meet the like mental as anything. Like seriously, we were at the Cardiff Workers Club one night. And they played all their greatest hits. And there are many hits that you never thought they'd have. And have I ever told you that guy that did The Concrete and the Clay, what was his name? I forget his name.
Martin Plaza.
Martin Plaza, that's right. Yeah, puts his arm. What's he cracked onto my wife?
They're all dead now. The only one who's still with us is Reg Mombasa, and he became the artist
with the farting dog Mambo.
He made a lot of money because he has talent, and he's
uber talent. It's just, how about putting a dog, a very simple. My parents met now. Who was one of the artists? Ken Doane. Do you remember him? The colorful artist.
Of course I do.
Yeah, I've got a Ken Doane here in my house.
Really?
Somewhere. Yeah.
He's still alive, though.
In 1970s? Yeah, I think he's still alive.
You need to go and shoot him.
Yeah, to make it more valuable. It's just a crayon thing. It was done with love because they spent a whole evening before he was famous, you know. You know what it's like to meet people before they're famous and then after they've cracked fame? That's a very difficult thing to deal with. And I've dealt with it quite a few times. I've met people, Troy Bayliss when I was at school with him. And then he becomes and he becomes, you know, world superbike champion. He was good before and afterwards. Neil Turner.
These people, no one guaranteed would even know who that you're talking about, but they are interesting people in their own right. But tonight, before we go, I've got Apple Music on my music thing on my phone.
That's right. You want me to watch that bloody show, that TV show. What's it called?
Severance. Next Saturday,
I will
guts the whole show. No, next Saturday, there's no Rick and Rollo. We will not be.
Saturday after two weeks time.
What I'm saying though is, what am I saying? I can't even remember what I was about to get into.
I knocked your thought out of your head. How many times have you had thoughts knocked out of your head?
A lot when I talk to you. A lot. But I'll look at my notes. Golf. What was I talking about? Golf? Actually, Melbourne. Last time I was in Melbourne, I'm going back there next weekend.
You were talking about something just before I went to Severance or something. You were talking about a streaming service, something on Apple Plus.
Oh yeah, Rocket. No. I was listening. I was at the gym, and I somehow the Rock and Roll Swindle album came up onto my the listen to show, and we're going to be ending this show tonight with one of the greatest songs off that album. Sid Vicious, John Ritchie. Was it John Ritchie? I think it was John Ritchie.
Sid Vicious. I saw that movie about his life with Gary Oldman. He played Sid Vicious, didn't he?
Sid and Nancy.
It was a fantastic movie, and it's one of the best. One of the best. Biopics? Would you call that a biopic or everything?
Not bad. And they had, I think even what's the name? The serial
Johnny Rotten. No, approved of it.
I don't know about that. No, he wouldn't have. No way. Look, I trust John Lydon as a genuine person. I think what he says is an Irishman, London Irish.
If you're a guy, you go on tour and you call it the Filthy Lucre Tour.
Well, they were 100% correct. Yeah. That was 1996.
That's him to a T, you know, going, let's go back and do it, you know. He had Malcolm McLaren behind him, didn't he?
Actually, we'd say Malcolm McLaren was behind them because Malcolm McLaren was different. You're listening to
Rick and Rollo 46.
Back up. No matter what your age, you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to the Rick and Rollo show. Episode number 46 on the 6th of September 2025. And we're back to the host, Rick and
Fuck off, you fucking poof. We're talking punk music now. Now we're talking about the fucking late 70s where fucking punk rock fucking ruled.
It came out of nowhere. Look, it came out of nowhere. Right. And there I was as a 15-year-old, say 15, 16. It came out of nowhere. And punk, this was it. And it was great music. And because I totally agree with what happened. It was because we were getting fed Deep Purple, John Lord organ solo, 20 minutes, or a drum solo from Led Zeppelin or whatever. Who the fuck cares about how good you are in drums? When you go to a live concert, you just want to see, now it's even worse now because we've got short attention spans. But we don't want to listen to 15 minutes of someone playing an organ doing some kind of whatever. And that's what
Do you think Sid Vicious could actually play the bass guitar at all?
No.
Or was he just whacked out on heroin?
Yeah, he was whacked out heroin. But the thing is, he looked fantastic.
He
looked the part. And so I bought in 1979 Sid Sings, right? I paid 18 to 20 bucks for his album of Sid Vicious doing a live concert. It was completely fucking terrible. Like every song on it was bad, but they were good. Like the effort he was putting into it, if you're into doom rock and the Stooges and whatever, because that's the songs he was playing. He was playing old songs by the Stooges and the Ramones and stuff like that. It was good stuff.
You can see what he was trying to do. It was the execution of what you were doing.
they was telling modern music to fuck off.
Do you remember when Johnny Rotten left and then did Pill? And he did some really nice songs. This is not a love song. And he had a love of the craft. I'm sure he did.
John Lydon was an underestimated. They underestimated how good he was. He actually had talent. He was this London Irish rebel. I hate Pink Floyd T-shirt. That was the one that he had. He just wrote, "I hate Pink Floyd."
Yeah.
And they became.
Whereas I love Pink Floyd. So whatever.
But he was attacking what was going on in mainstream media back in 1976, 77, whatever.
Was he on? I don't think he was on BBC. I think he was on one of the ITV or something with this drunken guy. And they got Johnny Lydon and it's fucking
and Steve Jones.
And they're bloody cursing. And this guy was
so drunk.
Yeah.
But the night it happened, there was a whole lot of real interesting stuff on the news that should have been reported that didn't get reported, that the Sex Pistols took over. That's what I talk about. They were just used. And I do believe Lydon realized he was used to hide stuff. He was a free thinker.
What was the real story that night then?
I've already shared it years ago. Forget about it now. There was a really good story on, some government story that the government was being up to no good, and that story took over the news.
And Jimmy Savile fucking Jimmy little Savile. Children. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All that stuff. Actually, I will have to go soon, Rollo. I think.
All right. Look, it's been a pleasure.
Sid Vicious, My Way. One of the greatest songs ever.
I did it my way now.
But
who originally? That was Frank Sinatra, wasn't it?
It was Frank Sinatra. But just remember, the last scene when you watch Goodfellas, and that guy, whatever his name is, that does the soundtracks, or the director of Goodfellas, whatever his name is, who did
Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese. He used My Way to end that film, which is one of the
Goodfellas, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, one of my 100%, 100%. But My Way was the last song used. It's
so you want the Sid and Nancy version or the
No, I've already seen it, Joel. I've already seen the
version you want. All right, mate.
Yeah. But brilliant. What I'm saying is that in the audience, when you actually watch that video of My Way, that's his mother, which is his real mother, sitting clapping, looking blonde chick that's in the front row. It's his actual mother. And then he shoots her right in the middle of the chest. You know, very good.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not real, right? He doesn't kill her.
No, it's not real. Right? No, of course not. That's his mother.
That tells us something. Well, we're going to go out with something special here. Okay. There won't be another Rick and Roller for another 2 weeks. Is that right, Rick?
Yep.
2 weeks. 100%. And then we'll eventually.
Thank you. Thank
we
you.
We want to do a build a.
Thank you,
thank
Rick.
You, Rick. We want to do a build a burger.
Thank you, Rick.
A build a burger down at Lithgow. So thank you, Bellathet, our super duper producer. And we're going to go out with.
Vicious in My Way. Be told. Oh, very good.
Life.